But I am concerned that we are getting far too much instruction from the world's perspective on what God intended to be good, holy, and pure. And if we're not going to talk about it openly, candidly, and biblically from a biblical view in the church, where are most people going to get their education?
Think back to your wedding day. The excitement, the passion, the first day of your happily ever after life. And now, ask yourself, what happened? Hi, I'm Dave Dino. Welcome to The Tide. You know, marriage can be wonderful, but after the honeymoon is over, even the most committed couples sometimes drift apart. In today's lesson, Pastor Dwayne Pottinger will show us how to revive our lifeless marriages. He's standing by in studio right now with our director, Don Schenk. So let's join them.
Dwayne, in your lesson today, you're going to be sharing with us some of the steps that seem to be like a downward staircase leading into an adulterous relationship or the breakdown of a marriage. Have you had experience in counseling or in noticing in relationships anything that would lead you to validate this information?
I have, Don. Unfortunately, I'd rather it not be so, but I had taught this material. I was actually teaching for several years to young married couples, and I was primarily teaching this as material to warn them of a potential downfall in their marriage. Unfortunately, in the midst of that process, a couple came to me and confessed that one of the partners had had an affair. The interesting thing that really piqued my interest or my attention was that this one spouse confessed that the exact steps that are being revealed that I'm going to share with you today were the steps that this person went down. And it was a female. She said to me, "I wish so much I would have heard this before, or that I would have heard it in the middle of a journey so that somehow I would have been alerted to stop. I didn't realize the progression or how fast it was going and the devastation that would follow."
So this isn't just something out of a textbook. This is actually something that people have experienced, and you've seen it in real life. Tell me, Dwayne, what do you hope to accomplish by sharing this lesson today?
Well, I hope to accomplish through this lesson exactly the same thing that I hoped when I was teaching this several years ago. Obviously, Don, my desire is not to give people the steps of how to have an affair. But my hope would be that you would be alerted by the revelations of these steps of where you might be. I think individuals sometimes innocently get caught up in relationships and are not aware of the progression that is taking place that could ultimately lead to an affair. And so if there's some way today that by listing out these steps of progression towards an affair, if it will somehow awaken them and alert them of the danger ahead, I think my goal will be accomplished.
God wants all of us to enjoy productive, fulfilling marriages. In today's lesson, Pastor Dwayne Pottinger offers some practical steps to help us reach that goal. So let's join him for his lesson titled, Reviving Your Marriage.
I came across some material that Keith Drury put out. Keith Drury is a friend, actually. He is a professor at Indiana Wesley University. And in a material that he's written years ago, this is the dangerous slope toward adultery. Number one, sharing common interests. Now that in itself has no problems. To have friendships, often we share common interests. But that's where it starts. Step number two, here's where the problem begins. Mentally comparing your mate. You start looking at your spouse and you look at the person that you're developing an interest in. You look at their personality. You look at their smile. You look at their hairdo or outfits. You look at their body shape. You start looking and you are starting to compare their attitudes and their actions with your spouse. That's a very dangerous place because the tendency is for Satan to tempt you to want something different than what you have. Step number three. Meeting emotional needs. Now you're beginning to compare not only what your spouse with this person, but now you're starting to meet emotionally. You have these emotional needs. Everybody has emotional needs. But you're comparing them or you're sharing them with somebody you shouldn't be sharing with. You're opening a door of vulnerability. Number four, looking forward to being together. See, now you start thinking, well, I just have to get to the office a little earlier. I need to stay a little late because I have to work a little longer today. But in fact, you're just wanting to spend a little more time with that person. Number five, there are tinges of dishonesty with your mate. Your spouse says, how come you got home so late? And you say, well, we had a lot of work we had to do today. And you might have had a lot of work, but there's a little bit of dishonesty there because the real motive was to see or spend time with that person. So tinges of dishonesty with your mate are taking place. You say, well, I had to go by the bank, or I had to stop and pick something up, when really you were spending most of the time with that person. So tinges of dishonesty with your mate. Number six, you begin flirting, teasing with a person, saying little things and getting a little excitement, a little rush is going on. Seven, talking about personal matters. Now you start sharing things with this person that you shouldn't be sharing with. Now you're becoming vulnerable and transparent. You're opening yourself up. These are things that you should only be sharing with your spouse, not with somebody of the opposite sex who is not married to you. Number eight, minor yet arousing touch, squeeze, or hug. You know, you just kind of, when you shake hands, you just kind of hold on and give that little extra squeeze. Maybe it's the hand on the shoulder or the arm around the shoulder. Maybe she comes by and just kind of touches you. Watch out. Watch out. Nine. And now it goes to special little notes or gifts. There's a little sticky, a little post-it left on your computer screen when you get to your office. Maybe a little card in your mailbox. Maybe it's on your car. Maybe there's a little gift you find. You know, it's nothing much. It's just, but there's a progression that's moving very rapidly here towards a destruction zone. Number 10, inventing excuses to call or to meet. What was that we were doing in the office? I better call and, honey, I got to go call somebody. And you're inventing excuses to call somebody. In the office or at the workplace, you say, well, I have to go by and see how they're doing and if they got that project accomplished. And the progression goes on. And you might say to the person, well, we better sit together at lunch and talk about this. Dangerous. Trying to invent, make ways to meet together. 11, arranging secret meetings. Now it's becoming more deceptive. Now you're saying, okay, let's stop by and get a milkshake or have coffee after work. And you're arranging to meet together. Let's stop. I'll go for groceries and we'll meet in the parking lot or whatever. We'll go to Wally World or whatever. Number 12, deceit and cover up. Now you have to lie. Now you have to cover things up because now it's starting to get too obvious. 13, now there's the progression to kissing, holding, and body pressing. You see, there's boundary after boundary that is breaking down, and now it just moves so rapidly. Now next it goes to petting. There's an arousal that's taking place. There's an excitement. There's an adrenaline release. The fire has been lit, which then quickly launches into number 15, and there is the unfaithfulness, the sexual intercourse. Now, whether you're a teenager or whether you're a senior citizen, you need to be aware of these scenarios. You need to be aware not to go there. If you find yourself at any one of these stages, you need to call for help. I was teaching a married department in San Diego and went through this material years ago. Knew that a couple was struggling a little bit, but didn't know to what extent. Only to find out a couple weeks later, the couple came into my office just broken. The wife said to me, when you gave that list, you were exactly right. You were exactly right. You nailed it. You said everything just like it is. I said, why didn't you come for help? She goes, I don't know. I was just caught up. And I don't know where you might be, but if you see yourself in that journey, I'm saying to you as your pastor, please run for help. Call for help. Don't wait till it's too late. You can't afford. Then it'll be too late. Then there'll be brokenness and heartache. There needs to be a way to recover. The sin of immorality and adultery is destroying church after church. What are people thinking that they are trying to get away with sin and still act like everything is okay? I'm amazed that people can live in blatant sin and act like everything is okay. They go through the spiritual motions just like people did in Malachi's day. They go through the spiritual motions. They say their prayers. They even weep. Oh, they're spiritual. They give their offerings. But God says, I'm not listening to that. Because there's something going on in the background that nobody else seems to know. I don't know about you, friends, but my heart is broken about that. And I'm not here to point fingers. I am here to try to reach out and help. I'm here to somehow show people the danger signs and bring them back from the edge to get help. I don't know. I don't like dealing constantly with lumpy carpet where we just act like we don't know what's going on and everything's swept under the carpet. It's time for us to get these things out and say, I'm struggling, brother, sister. I need prayer. I need the brothers and sisters to come around me. This isn't just one or two people. We need to realize we're in a battle together. 1 Corinthians 6 on sex says this, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. And he was saying it's time to turn from those things and come back to the cross. Come back to Christ and put those things under the blood and confess them. Sexual immorality. I was at a conference last summer, and I went to a conference. It was a teen conference, and I went to one of the seminars on sexual temptation. And the teacher said this, and man, it was a powerful statement. I share it with you today. He said, sexual immorality is any sexual gratification from anyone or anything other than your spouse. Wow. Listen to that again. Sexual immorality is any sexual gratification from anyone or anything other than your spouse. We realize, especially for men, the battle is so strong in their minds. We need to take this battle and get it under control. We need to lay claim to 1 Corinthians 10:5 and take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Tear down those imaginations and temptations and win by the strength of the Lord. Now, the purpose of this message is to call us and to challenge each person to marital loyalty. That's where we're going. It means not even giving a place for the thought of being intimate with another person. It means choosing by an act of your will to be unconditionally loyal to your spouse no matter what your spouse does. Matthew 5, 27 and 28, Jesus speaking said, you have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so the battle is won or lost in my mind. I've got to win it here before I can win it out here. There was a woman who was suffering from great depression, and the concerned husband finally decided to take her to a psychologist. The doctor listened to the couple talk about their relationship, and then he said, the treatment I prescribe is really quite simple. With that, he got up out of his chair, he went over to the man's wife, he picked her up in his arms, and he gave her a big old kiss. He then stepped back and looked at the woman's glowing face and her big smile. Turning to the woman's husband, he said, see, that's all she needs, just to bring life back into her. The husband obviously didn't understand what he said because the husband said, I'll bring her back here every Tuesday and Thursday. Now, when it comes to marital faithfulness and to commitment, a large responsibility falls on husbands. Because I see what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, although verse 20 says we are to submit to one another, it says that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And I find that many times when women struggle in their marriage is because men are having problem fulfilling what God, through His Word, is asking us to do as men. The flip side of that is this. When we as men do what the Scriptures ask us to do, to lay down our lives for our wife, to love her unconditionally, to support, to help, to nurture, to encourage, to build her up, to affirm, to bless, to help. I mean, how many adjectives and things can I put in there? When we do that, what woman in her right mind would not want to follow and love and be committed to her husband? So there is a great responsibility on us as men in carrying out what Scripture calls us to do. And if we'd all be honest, men, we can't do it. And a lot of us don't know how to do it by ourselves. We need God's help. We need instruction. We need to talk. We need to communicate. Some may criticize me for talking about these things in a setting where there is all ages, married and single. But I am concerned that we are getting far too much instruction from the world's perspective on what God intended to be good, holy, and pure. And if we're not going to talk about it openly, candidly, and biblically from a biblical view in the church, where are most people going to get their education? And unfortunately, that's what has happened. And so it is healthy for us to talk about these things in a biblical context where it's safe, and we know that it's healthy, and we know it was God's design. Let's look quickly how, as we wrap this up, about reviving our marriages or your marriages. Number one, great point to start with, forsake all other competing relationships. You know what I'm talking about. There's somebody perhaps that sort of has a little place in your mind. There's a little competition going on there. But I tell you, you need to get rid of that competition in your mind. It's absolutely critical. Guard your marriage by not relating to those whom you are attracted to. Don't let that emotional connection grow. Avoid time alone with the opposite sex if they're not your spouse. I want you to know as a church, I personally have a standard that I will not meet with a lady by myself, unless it's my wife. I will not travel in a vehicle with a woman by myself. I'm not saying that to brag or to boast. I'm saying that because I need to have barriers in my life. And if you're wise, you'll do the same thing because we are vulnerable. And Satan will jump all over that. So protect yourself. Forsake competing relationships. Number two, choose to establish or reorder your priorities. You see, your biggest competition in marriage may not be another person. It might be another issue. You may have allowed things in your life that are ahead of your spouse. It may be your work. It may be recreation. It may be television. It might be hobbies or sports. You know, these things keep us busy, but they don't fill the inner need of a relationship. And if we're meeting our needs or trying to find fulfillment in all these things, we are vulnerable to temptation in relationships. Number three, show mercy to those irritating habits. Ha! Do you guys have any in your marriage? Oh, not you. You know, things like squeezing the toothpaste at the front when he wants you to squeeze it at the back, or well, no, whatever it is, hanging the toilet paper from the bottom under or instead of the top over, or whatever it is. The way you put the dishes in the dishwasher, or the way you fold the clothes, the way you put them back into the drawer. There's little irritating things that can build up. Do you know what? We need to show some mercy. Mercy. I looked up the word mercy in Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. It says compassion or forbearance shown especially to an offender. You can't be merciful unless there is an offense. My guess is that we have a lot of opportunities to be merciful. Ha! Number four, give grace when faced with obstacles. There are all kinds of things that happen in life where we need grace. There's stress, there's sickness, there's finances, appliances break down. There's circumstances beyond control. Oh my goodness, I'm getting stressed out thinking about it. Children, job pressures, disagreements. We need some grace in the house. Grace, According to Webster says, it's an act of kindness, a courtesy, and mercy. Number five, grant forgiveness when you're hurt. All of us get hurt from time to time. To forgive is to release your spouse from punishment, to not bring it up later, or to hold it against them. We need to forgive. And number six, drink from your own spring. Scriptures in some places can be very, very blatant, you know, very to the point. And Proverbs chapter 15 is a whole chapter about avoiding adultery. And in verse 5 it says, drink from your own spring. One of the ways to avoid being tempted to go somewhere else is to be satisfied at home. Now one of the difficulties is that many times couples are not talking about things like that, and they go on with unrealistic expectations and unmet needs and growing frustrations. Couples, you've got to talk about these things and really get open with each other. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage should be honorable, honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Boy, it requires open communication. It is a lovely thing to have a husband and wife developing together and having the feeling of falling in love again. That is what marriage should be all about, helping one another to reach the full status of being persons that are responsible and autonomous and being all that God wants us to be in a relationship where there is security and confidence and joy.
If we could somehow see our marriages for what they are, beautiful metaphors of Christ's relationship with the church, perhaps we'd be more inclined to preserve them, whatever the cost. And now, for some final thoughts on reviving our marriages, let's once again join Pastor Duane and Don in the studio.
Duane, as you were talking about this issue of reviving our marriage relationships today, you know, you did share some downward spiral or downward steps that some people can find themselves in, and also some steps to coming back up. What would you really say is the very first or most important element in starting that revival process for the marriage?
Don, in counseling with couples on this issue, I have started by saying the first step you must take as an individual or as a couple is your spiritual step, your spiritual life. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. Couples come for counseling with a lot of baggage, and a lot of times those issues get in the way of working on foundational or priority issues. And we somehow have to clear the table of those issues at first and deal with the foundation, and that is their spiritual life. One of the things that has become very helpful in a teaching tool is using a triangle. And the triangle is symbolic of God being at the top, man and woman being at the other points of that triangle. And in this world, we try to build relationships horizontally. And God set it up that we have to first seek Him. So we have to move up the sides of the triangle towards Him. And the automatic byproduct or result is that we grow closer horizontally. So the first step is to move up vertically and then to work on the horizontal issues. It begins to happen automatically.
If I'm having trouble in my marriage, do I start climbing the line towards God, or do I start working on the line towards my spouse? What if I'm moving up one line and my spouse isn't quite moving up with me? Maybe that's two questions there. Maybe that's too broad.
Well, again, going back to what Jesus said, He said, seek first the kingdom of God. So each individual has to make a move or a decision to move closer to God. And if they do that, their relationship will come closer together. Now, what I've actually seen is part of an individual moving back closer to God is often the issue of repentance. And when they develop or are willing to go into an attitude of repentance before God, it opens the door for them to then repent to their spouse, ask forgiveness. And it's been a real joy to see that step transition from asking God for forgiveness to turning then next to their spouse and saying, will you forgive me too? As God, and of course, you can throw in the scriptures about as we forgive others, God will forgive us. And that's a very strong point.
Okay, so what I hear you saying is if I'm willing to take the first step, the other will naturally follow.
That would be obviously the best. That doesn't always happen. Yeah. Sometimes a spouse, and often a wife who has been hurt emotionally or in other ways, she may be slow to respond. She'll have to see some trust built and developed before she can be willing to take the step. But I think especially as men, the critical step is for them to make a step spiritually toward God. And over a period of time, the spouse then will often warm up and follow that. And it's kind of interesting how God has designed us as men and women. When men take the lead, often the woman will follow.
Well, thank you, Dwayne, for sharing this lesson today. I think it's been very helpful. Before we close up the program today, I'd like to just take a little bit of time and share about what we're doing in Honduras. You know, for 12 years now, we've been broadcasting the good news of Jesus Christ on the island of Roatan. And that island there, it's one of several islands that together make up what's known as the Bay Islands of Honduras. And actually, it was in 1990 that Bible Basics International established Radio HRGS on this island of Roatan. And they invited us to be a part of their program lineup. Now, there's no way that we know exactly how many lives we have touched in Honduras, but we do know that there are still many people in Honduras who need to hear about Jesus Christ. One of the things we know is that the unemployment rate in Honduras is very high. A large number of people are actually living at poverty level. Many people living without hope. And that's why it's so important for us to continue proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, that there is hope. The people of Honduras, really, they need to know that Jesus came into the world to give them a hope, to bring healing and restoration, to really transform lives. And that's what we hope to accomplish through our radio broadcast there in Honduras. And at this point, I'd just like to stress to all of our listeners that that's something that we invite you to partner with us through your gifts and your prayers, so that together, you know, we can share the good news of Jesus Christ with the spiritually hungry people in Honduras and throughout other countries in the world.
There's something about radio that makes it an ideal tool for evangelism. It's not intrusive, there's no pressure on the listener, and it can go out to people wherever they are. To find out how you can help evangelize the people of Honduras, call us today toll-free 1-877-859-5484. If you'd like a personal copy of today's program, Reviving Your Marriage, or if you'd like to share it with your married friends, call and ask for tape or CD number 0321. It's available for a one-time gift of any size, so call us toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. Or send your request to us at The Tide, P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. In Canada, write to us at P.O. Box 2513, Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario, L4E1A6. For more information on how you can help us broadcast the good news, or to hear an encore presentation of today's program, please visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. You're listening to The Tide, touching hearts on shores worldwide. You know, we've seen how to turn an unhealthy marriage into healthy ones, and coming up next week, we'll discover how to keep them that way. Until then, I'm Dave Nino. Thanks for joining us.